Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. A few weeks ago, a dear friend and I were catching up on the phone after several months. I shared with her the various exciting things going on in my life, one of them being my work here with St. Paul's. And she was confused. She said to me, "I thought you left St. Paul's," which I answered, "Yes, since before moving to Connecticut, I worked at St. Paul's in Alexandria, and before that, St. Paul's K Street in D.C., and briefly at St. Paul's down in Houston." However, I explained to her that this was a different St. Paul's from the others, which she simply answered back saying, "Y'all have a lot of churches named after St. Paul. Can y'all be a little bit more creative? And she's right. We do have a lot of churches named after St. Paul. While one can come up with a long list of why this is the case, I personally like to think that we have a lot of churches named after St. Paul because he had a lot to say. St. Paul, after all, is the first theologian of the church. His letters predate the written form of our Gospels, and his writings have influenced Christians throughout every generation. And dare I say, St. Paul was not shy. He was not afraid to let you know what he thought. And in today's small and brief portion of St. Paul's letters to the Galatians, we get a small peek into St. Paul's passion, imagery, language, and very strong opinion. In this letter, he compares the pain he feels as he sees the Galatians being misled and forced to the pain of a mother giving birth. As a professor in seminary put it, St. Paul was never afraid to be a drama queen. Behind the deep drama, though, behind the deep passion of St. Paul's letters, lies a strong conviction to the love of God and God's faithfulness towards humanity, a love and faithfulness that is made true and vivid on the cross, a love which is made tangible in the resurrection. And St. Paul believes that nothing, and I mean nothing, can separate us from God's love. He makes it ever so clear in his letter to the Romans as he writes to them asking, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." In his final sentences of this letter, the portion we hear today from the letter to the Galatians, Paul is pleading to them not to fall prey to the agitations of those who are pushing the circumcision ritual. See, what Paul is trying to do is convince those Galatians that the love of God in Christ trumps all rituals we believe can save us or make us better than others or elevates us within our own social structures. For Paul is convinced that the work of Christ in his life, death, and resurrection is an invitation for us to rejoice in God's love and faithfulness. Because through Christ's death and resurrection, humanity has been made anew. Christ has offered the world a new order, in which the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, an order in which there's no longer Jew or Greek, there's no longer slave or free, there's no longer male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And what's at stake in this letter to the Galatians has implications for the way we view the world and the way we view God. While the big fuzz can be understood as simply a dispute on whether circumcision is important or not, what lies behind it is much deeper. See, those pushing circumcision on the Galatians are pushing on them a ritual that is not their own. These agitators, as Paul puts it, are trying to force on them a practice to create further division, and promising that through it, and only through it, they will be fully saved. They are trying to be convinced that in order to receive the fullness of God's love and salvation, they need to adopt this specific cultural custom in order to be fully saved. While ritual and ceremony is important in our common life, there's something inherently wrong, dare I say evil, when we use these things to create division. For St. Paul, to this St. Paul on the green, our rituals and ceremonies, from baptism to the Eucharist we are about to celebrate, are here so that we may be united as one and not divided, so that we might be reminded of the love of God and God's faithfulness, which knows no division. So as we gather here at this church, the icons, the cross, the holy water you touch as you walk in, are not here so that we may be divided from the world out there, but united as one in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.